This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. I'm Brad Brown. It's good to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining me today. And on today's podcast, we head to Canada to catch up with Martin Caron to talk a little bit about his journey into the sport of Ironman, some of the things he's done as well, some of his achievements and what he hopes to achieve. And before we get into that chat, just a massive thank you to everyone who has reached out and sent me messages with everything that's been going on here at TKE HQ. It's been pretty hectic, but I appreciate all the love. And before we get into my chat with Martin, if you haven't left us a review on iTunes yet, please do. It only takes a couple of minutes, and it really helps us in a huge way. The more reviews and the more positive reviews we get on iTunes, the more iTunes ranks us, and the higher they put us up in the rankings, and the more people see us and listen to the podcast. So if you wouldn't mind leaving us a review or a rating, I would love you long time. And don't forget to leave your name and your Twitter handle or Instagram handle, and we'll give you a shout on social media. But enough of me yakking. Let's get straight into my chat with Martin. Hope you enjoy it. You're listening to the Kona Edge. We head to British Columbia in Canada now to catch up with our next guest, Martin Caron. Martin, welcome on to the Kona Edge. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Martin, it's good to have you on. Triathlon scene in Canada has been pretty big for many years. It's a massive country, but you've got some amazing races there. Tell me a little bit about the triathlon scene, particularly where you are in British Columbia.
In Penticton, we have lots of races pretty much every couple of weekends in the area. We got some dynamic race events that throws five races through the summer as well. Whistler is always a great venue, great Ironman, really hard course. Looking forward to go to Mont Tremblant eventually on the east side. We also have beautiful races in Edmonton. And haven't done them all yet, but working on it.
Ticking them off as you go. Martin, let's talk about your sort of entry into the sport of triathlon. And we're going to talk a little bit about your background because it's quite an interesting one as well. But how were you first introduced to the sport? Where did your obsession for triathlon come from?
It came from a friend that thought I could be a good triathlete. And I'm going to name her Sheena Harris. She's been in the sports for about 10 years. And it brought me to Penticton with them on a vacation weekend. And we watched the Ironman Canada, which at the moment I was so focused on my career, I had no idea what was an Ironman actually. And I came in with no intention, watched the race, looked at all the people, made it to midnight, watched the finishers, and got really inspired. It was a beautiful day. But nevertheless, I didn't even think about doing one. And the next day, I was driving back home, and as you know, Penticton used to sell out on the day, so they registered me. Without telling me. And then I had to learn how to swim. And of course, at that moment, I couldn't run 5 kilometers to save my life because I was not a runner. I had a little bit of cycling background. But definitely the swimming learning curve was hard. Beside that, I adapted pretty good. But it all happened in Penticton in the first place. And ever since, I try to do 8 to 10 races a year, at least one or two Ironman. I think I got 3 lined up this year with Kona and Arizona following up 5 weeks after. And just enjoying my training and learning every day.
Martin, I love that story. We chat to lots of athletes here on the podcast, and And I've heard similar stories where they've gone from zero to an Ironman in a year, but you can't even say you went from zero to Ironman in a year because you didn't even know you were at zero after that first one. What was your reaction when they told you?
I said, well, I guess I'm going to have to learn to swim.
I love that. Let's talk.
I was debating. I thought it was interesting, but I didn't think I had time to do it, which I didn't, but I made time. And it was actually a great thing because he took me away from work and for a better lifestyle, better life. And I'm grateful.
As far as your sporting background, I mean, were you sporty growing up? Did you play sport? Were you fairly active?
I was very, very active. Could spend easily 8 hours on a tennis court in a day. I played, I don't know how many hundreds of games of golf, 36 holes a day, many days of the week. I played bowling to a level where I was actually making quite a decent amount of money. Had good skills, good focus, good concentration. That was my strength. And did some badminton, provincial, tennis, regional. I always like to push myself. That was me growing up.
You've obviously got some sporting ability. I mean, you talk about the level that you bowled at, and you're a pretty good Ironman as well. But everybody at the top level has ability. How much of your sort of success is coming from the fact that I'm guessing you're super competitive and you hate losing?
You know what? I'm not that competitive with anyone. I like to see how good I can be myself. Sometimes I get beat and it's no big deal for me. It's more about what can I do myself. It's not really about others. But of course, I got a couple people that I like to beat, as everybody. And I got a couple new targets, which I figured there was some really, really strong men out there this year in Texas. And you know what? I just like training, and the race is the reward, and that's when I apply all my training, my work, and seems to work.
I was reading up a little bit about you before we chatted today, and one of the articles that I came across, it was an Ironman article, but it basically said that you recently retired, and that was last year, August. People, I always ask people what they do for a living. You, and I'm putting it in air quotes, are technically a professional athlete at the moment. You've retired. You've had a pretty good career. You're young. And now you're focusing, as you said before we started recording, on your second addiction, which is triathlon. Work used to be your first addiction.
I was a roofer, first year of my life. Was a pretty responsible person. Then, I started my own business, worked as a general contractor / mostly roofing, drainage, bricklaying. It was all hard work, usually long days. And did that for 15 years, long hours. And then with that came investments, which I bought some real estates in Squamish, which everybody knows it's one of the best places to live in the world for the outdoor, because it's the Canada capital of outdoor. Beautiful place, especially in the summer, because I don't ski. And so, yeah, I got lucky. Market went up. And then I had the choice to move to Pentington because it's considerably cheaper. And that gave me the chance to retire.
Do you think if you had discovered, this is a weird question, if you had discovered triathlon earlier in your life while you were working that hard, you would have given as good a go as you have?
Well, the three first years that I tried triathlon as a long distance, to be honest with you, if you're working full time physically, it's pretty much impossible to be on top of those athletes. Cause if you put in 10 to 13 hours of training a week, you nailed it. It's a lot. Once you retire and you're about able to rest and focus on your nutrition and lower the stress level, because stress level is a global thing, including work. It's not only training. You recover better, you get better result, you feel better, you're a nicer person. So basically, as a working person, even if I was younger, I don't think it would have been possible. As now I managed to take some big, big time off in the winter, travel, get some training in. I mean, rest is so important and nutrition, but if you work full time, you can't focus on it because it's just too busy.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing you say that. The stress and rest, I think those are two of the most underrated sort of aspects of this lifestyle, because let's be honest, if you're working hard and training for an Ironman, if you're not knackered half the time, you're not doing it right. That rest and the stress that you mentioned, those are big parts. And if you can get enough rest and bring your stress down, that's half the battle won.
It is. It all adds up.
Martin, looking at what you've sort of been able to achieve so far in the sport, what are some of your, I mean, you obviously set big goals. What are some of the things you still want to achieve in Ironman and in triathlon as a sport in general?
Well, right now the big goal is I give myself 4 more years. I'd like to win my age group in Kona. I haven't been very successful there so far. It's a pretty tough race. I got 3 more years to dial the race to win in the 40 to 44. And then I would like to win it at least once in every age group from 45 to 49 and 50 to 54. And then we'll see where I'm at. But that's my goal. I'm going to start coaching probably in 3-4 years. I already have a few guys lined up that I'm helping out, but I'm trying to focus on my triathlete career, if we can call it like that. And Kona is my thing. I'm trying to figure this out. It's a love-hate course. It's very hot. It's not a tough course, but it's very hot, and it makes it really hard. So trying to get better every year. So far, making progress. So going to keep going at it.
I mean, the heat is probably the thing that people struggle with the most in Kona. What are some of the things that you do to try and prepare yourself and get you ready for that?
Well, the first year I went there, we went only 7 days before the race. And I think I had probably the worst or second worst day of my life, because I did the same in Cozumel 1 year. And it just take a beating. It's so hot. You're not acclimatized. And second time, 2016, I didn't go. 2017, I went 24 days before. I know I'm ready when it's 28 degrees inside and I put a jacket on. That means I'm acclimatized. I know I'm going to have a better day, and I'm going to do the same this year. This year, 18 days before the race. Takes approximately 15 days for me to have that feeling of, okay, it's not that hot. I'm going to be okay with that. Once I'm able to put in some long workout in the heat, it's it's reassuring for sure.
Is there anything you do back home to prepare yourself for that heat?
Well, back home right now is about 36 degrees Celsius, which is a little bit warmer than Kona because we're in a desert here. It's pretty hot. So it's like that all summer. And then the problem is September, October, it cools down a bit. So this year I'm going to try to introduce a lot of sauna and hot tub time after my pool session to keep the body warm and make a big wood fire in my living room every night. Be warm watching TV and resting.
I love it.
That's all I can do.
as far as the attraction to Kona, what is it about that place that makes it so special? That, I mean, let's be honest, it's not the cheapest of places to go to. It's a long way for most people, but people just keep going back. What makes it so special?
It's just because you can really know where you're at. I was finishing second in 2015, and then I got to Kona, and I was 400. This is the gap between one race and the worlds. It's a big gap. You don't know how good you are until you go there. It has nothing to do. This is where people are dialed, they're ready, they're tapered, it's their Aries. So yeah, this is where it's happening. I want to know where I'm at all the time. So I'm just going to keep going back, even though it's extremely expensive, as you say.
It's interesting that you talk about the finishing second in a local Ironman race or one of the smaller races and then going there and finishing 400th. I mean, I was looking through old results yesterday, and I was looking at your age group and the one ahead of you, where guys are going 9.5 sub 10. Like, I mean, they're fast Ironman, and they, as you're saying, they're like down the rankings. Does that fire you up, or does that demoralize you?
Oh, I know it fires me up. I know there's a lot of room for progress. I have a very, very consistent progression in the last 5 years. And now I started to do some training blocks in the winter. And I went to Arizona this year, and I had a really good PR there, even though it was a really fast year for some reasons. And I mean, there's a lot of room for progress. And the thing is, athletes are getting stronger and stronger and stronger because the sport is getting more popular as every year. And yeah, just adds up to a better challenge, basically.
Absolutely. What do you think some of the biggest challenges facing the sport as a whole are today? I mean, you talk about Arizona and some of the times and how crazy it was. I mean, we've seen it at various races for whatever reason. What do you think from particularly an Ironman and WTC perspective, but as a sport as a whole, what are some of the challenges that are facing the sport today?
I mean, everybody has their own challenge. Can be finish or to win or top 10 or whatever. But I just think that there's a better understanding of coaching out there. And I don't know. The challenge, I think everybody have their own.
What's your biggest challenge right now? What are you struggling with? What are you trying to get better at?
I'm struggling with my swim. I'm definitely coming out of the water a little bit late compared to the elite athletes in my age. And that's something I should work on. But the thing is, if I work 5 hours a week, 6 hours a week to get my swim better for 3 or 4 minutes, and if I put those hours into my cycling and my running, that represents maybe 10 minutes. So it's hard to figure out. Long term, maybe I should swim more right now, but shorter term, I need to keep working on what the biggest gains are. So I'm putting that on the back burner. I'll hope I'll swim more in the winter, but yeah, it's we'll find out.
If you could go back and talk to yourself starting out in the sport again, would you change anything? What would you tell yourself? I mean, what advice would you give to Ironman novice Martin?
Basically, most important, not to get injured. I've been not injured for at least almost 3 years now. Had some little nagging things, but nothing to slow me down, really. But not getting injured is important. Good nutrition, lots of micronutrients. Feed the body with good calories. They used to say that I was doping on poutine because I used to eat a lot of junk food. And I dialed that. Much better nutrition is very important. It might not change much at the beginning, but after 20 weeks of training, those nutrients pay off. Feel better for sure. Maybe a little skinnier as well, which is very important. And yeah, basically that would be my advice. Just keep it human. Don't overdo it. Too much is like not enough to say. I agree. Yeah.
What's the secret to staying injury free? I mean, we've got a lot of people who are struggling with niggles and this and that. How have you stayed injury free over the last few years?
Well, I'm a little bit special. I don't have a coach, and I don't think a coach would be a good thing for me because I don't even know what workout I'm going to do until I get up in the morning. And I see how I feel. And then I just decide how hard, how big I'm going to go. I'm not a lazy person. I love to work hard. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not shy to shorten the workout if I feel like I'm not recovered from the day before. If I feel like my legs are trashed for running, I'll just shorten the run, lengthen the bike. I usually swim on recovery day mostly. So basically, I reassess my body conditions every day. And I work with it. And it's not like having a program when you try to nail every workout and say, hey, coach, I got my training 100% this week. It doesn't mean you did good to yourself if you're not recovered for every workout as you should be. Well, sometimes you need some higher stress, but it's how I rule. It's working. I do like in off season to go do some overload training. Like I'd go to Tucson and I'd bike 90 hours in a month and run 300 kilometers. And that'd be a very good training load on the legs. Come back, taper that, start another training. A little bit easier, but that will follow me all year and I don't have to stress up too much to be race fit. Like, so yeah, that's how I do it. Okay. Everybody's different, but yeah.
Well, I find it quite interesting that you're self-coached and there's no real formal training program. Have you gone that route? Have you tried the coaching thing and how did you get to this point?
Actually, I'm not interested in being on a program. I look at my friends and I ask them if they want to do things and they always have a schedule and they don't seem like they can alternate the run and the bikes. If it's temperature wise, I plan it with like weather. It has to be, I'm not going to go cycling if it's pouring rain all day, so I'll just switch it over. But some of people I know, they actually will go for a 5-hour bike ride in the rain. And then the next day they'll run an hour and a half in the sun. And I would totally switch that over. But this is their choice. This is how they roll. I respect that. I guess they have a volume to keep up with, but yeah, I like to feel like I can do whatever I want. And if I decide to take a day off in the middle of the week or 2 days off in the week to have bigger sessions, and it's okay with me. It's how I do it. So.
What do you enjoy doing to get away from the sport of triathlon? Often, and especially if you're working full-time, often it becomes overwhelming that all you're doing is Ironman, that everything about your life is Ironman. Do you, with your sort of setup, do you get that, and do you need to get away from the sport at all?
No, I don't really need to, but in my free time, I do some renovation and home improvement on my house. Well, just kind of get rid of the tools, I guess. I enjoy improvement, so I do some improvement on everything I do. And actually, I live on a golf course. So very often after dinner, I just grab my golf bag and I walk onto the golf course because it's closed. So I just go play half a round. And that keeps me out of, that keeps my mental distracted a bit.
Are you any good at it?
I'm okay. I can say that if I were to pursue as a kid, I could probably make it to the big leagues in there as well. But not anymore.
Looking at some of the big names in the sport of triathlon, who do you really admire? Who do you think is just an amazing athlete and doing some amazing things?
I like Lionel Sanders, a warrior. He's seems like a very smart man. He's still learning lots. I think he's going to be a champion very soon. Miranda Carfrey is unbelievable. Chrissy Willington has such a great story. Really take her as a model. Read her book. That was a really interesting story. Yeah. Great stuff. I don't really pay attention to what's happening around. It's funny, I'm not very connected. I don't watch a lot of TV. But yeah, as far as I know, that's
pretty much it.
People I like right now. Yeah.
As far as choosing races, I find it quite interesting. You've done a couple of tough ones. Obviously Whistler is not the easiest on the circuit, but you've also done a couple of the faster flat ones like the Texas and the Arizonas and that sort of thing. How do you pick the races? Are you more suited to the harder cycles, or do you prefer the flatter, faster ones?
Well, to be honest with you, I did Whistler 5 times. They were all different. Conditions were different, weather, winds. It's a hard bike course. It's a really hard run. It's way hillier than we think. Gives you for a nice, slightly uphill last 10K on the run, which you think you're fading hard, but really it's just the course. And, I did Cozumel. It wasn't much easier. Time are faster, but they're not easier. You go as hard. Texas is definitely, it was easy. Super easy bike course, nice pavement. I was a little bit unfair in Texas as I was quite a bit ahead, and I don't want to mention it too much, but I will. Got caught with a peloton, 150 riders, and that made the race very interesting because I feel like I was pretty fair overall myself, but definitely found out that double loops on flat course just don't work. So triple loops in Cozumel don't work. There's not enough room for the amount of bikes. There's too many people in the race. I think Ironman has to work on that to figure out there's a certain data that if you take all the 3,000 bikes, you put them back to back with the whatever drafting zone is on that day, they don't fit on the course. So it's not only the athlete's problem, it's the race director and it has to fit on the course.
it's not just Texas. I mean, we see it often. You just keep an eye on social media and you see it very often with regards to races and those sorts of issues. And you're right. It's as much as the athletes agree to not draft, sometimes it's just not possible not to end up in a group of 20, 30, 40 riders.
But I find when I do hillier course, there's less of that because when you hit some big hills, it separates the people that cannot keep up with the power of the first person. And then it separates, and I think it's more fair. I really think they should start focusing on doing some one loop bike course as well, because then you start overlapping people that came out of the water late, and then it's dangerous. It's in the way. So I like hilly course, basically.
I love it. Well, Martin, it's been great catching up. I look forward to talking about your individual disciplines, your swim, your bike, your run, and nutrition, but we'll save that for next time. Thanks for your time here on the Kone Edge.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kone Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kone Edge.